All right. Well, I welcome you here. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'm looking forward today to getting back into the letter Z, Zion, your eternal home, your heavenly home. I hope that you've been blessed and that you've been serving the Lord because you want to and not because you have to. Our God is worthy. He's worthy to serve. And He's a wonderful, the one and true living God. That's our Lord. And His Son is Jesus Christ, our Savior, and you know that. I hope that everybody listening to this is born again, that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says repentance and belief toward our Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's what you need. That's what you want. Don't dare go into eternity without having your eternal states settled. Man's a fool to go into eternity or even get close to going into eternity without having that settled. That's what all of mankind is looking for anyway, is how do I stay alive? That's what everything in life, all this circus stuff going on out here in the world today and all this confusion and people running to and fro and going here and going there and nothing works here, so I'll try this and I'll try this and you didn't work out, so I get another wife, or you didn't work out, I get another husband, or all this garbage that's going on in the world. It's just a matter, the bottom line is how am I going to stay alive? How am I going to stay alive? And ain't nobody going to stay alive. The Lord said He is the one that kills and makes alive. He's the one. And you ain't leaving that body until the Lord approves of it. And when He says it's time, ain't no way you can retain the spirit. The Bible says no man hath the power to retain the spirit in the day of death. And there ain't no discharge from that war. So we're all going to die unless the Lord comes to get us. But death for the Christian is completely different than death for an unsaved person. Both depart from the body, but when you depart for an unsaved person, it's going to be terrifying. It's going to be... Well, what we're going to talk about today is what is heaven like. And that is undescribable as far as looking at it from a human standpoint and our understanding. But I can imagine Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said some things, and He's the one that made the word hellfire. That word originated by Jesus Christ. Hellfire. And I can't imagine, that's another thing that we probably can't put together properly. We know about suffering here, and we know about how things are cursed and what things are like here on this earth, but from what the Bible tells us about what hell is like, I can't see why anybody in their right mind wouldn't be looking for an assurance that they're not going there. If somebody mentioned that I was going to go to hell, I'd be searching that out to find out whether it was true, and if it is true, how'd I get out of it? And that's what the Lord has done. So you can see why the Lord's opinion and the state of His mind is that the wrath of God abides on sinners. If you turn down His Son, the price that the Lord, His Son that He sacrificed, and the ultimate price of giving God's blood up and letting His creature torture His Son and go through all that the Lord went through and provided for mankind to be able to come and be reconciled with Him, and then turn His snoot up to Him and turn the heel up to him and turn the shoulder to him and laugh in his face and spit in his face. And you don't think somebody that goes into eternity without Jesus Christ is going to be terrified? If you ain't saved, you better get saved today. You better ask the Lord to save you today. Because if you're walking along and an eternal door opens up and you fall in it, or a door below your feet opens up and you fall into eternity, you're in trouble if you're not born again. You're in trouble. And everybody that's unsaved is walking on thin ice. All it is one breath from hell. That's all it is. But praise God, we don't have to worry about that when we're born again. We have God's promises, don't we? And we are on our way to heaven. We don't even have to think twice about hell, ever. Ever. Forget it. It's over with. Only thing we think about hell right now is helping somebody else get out of it. Helping somebody else get out of it. Because it ain't a matter of whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. It's not an option. They're on their way to hell. Period. And if they don't get out of it, they're going there. It ain't whether or not it's a choice and you roll the dice or you weigh it in a scale and whichever way it comes out, it's not even that. It's you're going to hell. Everybody is damned except the ones that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, and done what God has said to do in every dispensation. And in this dispensation, it's a gospel of the grace of God. Being saved by grace through faith. All right, well, let's get on with our study today. If there's somebody that you're praying for, you continue to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God would save them. Because he will. If you're his child and you're praying, your prayers are not in vain, the Bible says, and God takes your prayers seriously. And if he sees that you're committed to praying for that person, God will save them. He'll make every opportunity to save them, to save their soul. And just because you're praying for them, he will. Put them on your prayer list and pray for them. And the devil's going to make you think you're an idiot. He's going to try to tell you that God ain't listening to you and God don't care whether you ain't got the power to get to God and talk about saving somebody and you old hypocrite and blabbity, blabbity, blab and all that stuff. But pray for them anyway. Pray for them anyway. Amen. All right, well, let's get on into our study. We're talking to Christians today, and I thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining in. And we're talking about the letter Z in the ABCs of Christian growth. And just to recap a little bit about what we have already discussed in our past, three lessons? We talked about what is heaven. We talked about what is heaven and how many heavens there are and what does the Bible say about these things. We didn't ask anybody's opinion. We didn't go to the Greek and the Hebrew and we didn't do all this, that, and the other. We just got our English Bible out that God gave us to read and to know his will and his mind and promises that he's made to us that we're dependent on, that the Bible is our final authority and we're trusting it with our soul. Of what God has said. And when we talked about what does death mean for the Christian, we went through those things, and the Apostle Paul said to be home in the body is to be absent from the Lord, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then we went over a bunch of scripture also that shows us that everybody in the scriptures departed their body, and that death is nothing more than the body going to sleep. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. It goes back to the dust, but the Lord calls it sleep. The body sleeps for the Christian. For the Christian. Okay? And it said there ain't no soul sleep, no reincarnation, no in-between places to stop off and fill up with gas and all this, that, and the other. There ain't none of that. The Bible doesn't talk about it, not nowhere. It's not in there. It's not in there. The only thing that even comes close to it is in the Old Testament before Christ made the sacrifice and atoned for our sins and said it's finished. And when he said it's finished, that made way for the people that were in paradise to be able to go ahead and finish the route to heaven. And Christ went and got them and took them to heaven because they couldn't go to heaven without the sins being taken away. They were forgiven, but sins were not taken away. But now they are, and they can go straight to heaven, and everybody since then has went straight to heaven when they die. Straight to heaven. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Now, will we know one another in heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt know everybody in heaven. It don't say it. Nowhere. Doesn't even get close to saying it. But it gives us a lot of evidence that where some people in the Scriptures recognized, well, as a matter of fact, a lot of people in the Scriptures recognized other people that they knew before. As a matter of fact, they recognized people that they didn't know before. That's interesting, isn't it? They looked on people, and for instance, Peter and John and James, when they went with the Lord to watch him transfigure and seen him transfigure into his glorified body, and Moses and Elias appeared. Elijah appeared there. Well, Peter didn't have any problem. He named them right away. He knew exactly who they were. But he'd also been reading that Bible, the Old Testament. That's all they had then, was the Old Testament. Excuse me. So, we see that, yes, we probably wouldn't be far off from thinking that we are going to recognize one another in heaven, and if we don't, we'll know one another after a handshake. It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. But according to the Scriptures, we got some evidence there that they did recognize each other and also knew who people was that they had learned of in the Scriptures. You know, it's no accident when we read our Bibles and read about these, they're not characters, they're people, real people in a real past with real truth that we're reading about. The Bible's a history book. These things really, really happen. Okay? And we believe them because God said they did. Not because we got proof. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we believe because God's word says it. And Peter knew Elijah. I believe he recognized Elijah, and Moses because of what he'd read about them in the Scriptures. And I believe the same thing. When we get to glory, that is very possible that we'd be walking along there and look up and see John the Baptist. And we'll know him by what we've read about him in the Scriptures. Just like Peter did with Elijah and Moses. And be walking along there, and there's Stephen that got stoned. Martyr Stephen. We walk along there, and there's Philip the evangelist. The things that we've read in God's Word, you see, God's Word is eternal. The things that we're putting in our mind right now are eternal things that live forever. They're spiritual things. They're celestial things. They're not earthy. They're not going to rot on this earth and burn up when the Lord burns it up. Everything that we're studying right now is truth, and it's eternal, spiritual, forever. Isn't that good? Amen. Will we know one another in heaven? Let's vote yes. Okay, but if you said no, then we'll see when we get there, won't we? I mean, like I said, after a handshake and a high and a glory hallelujah, we'll all know one another. Okay, so today we're going to go into another avenue, and that's, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? There's a whole bunch of, well, let's just stop right now. What do you know about heaven? Only thing any of us could possibly know about heaven, I mean, you got these, some of these kooks that say they've been to heaven and been back, and they have been, but according to the scriptures. And I only read about two of them. Four of them, Moses and Elijah's been to heaven, and they came back. But they didn't write about it like Paul and John did. But they were recorded in the scriptures after they had been present there, see. So, anyway, there's a few folks in the Word of God that have been to heaven and back. But what did they say about it? Not very much. Not very much. Because they didn't want to? No. Because they couldn't. It's not possible to put it in the language that a human being speaks, or that we could understand. The things that he seen and he heard, the Bible says. They described everything that they could describe. John described the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven. He described what it was made of and the dimensions of it, and described that city. Yes. And it's still knowing everything and writing everything down according to what he said and putting it all on paper. Still, I mean, you can get a good imagination and get an image of it, but not like it's going to be when we see it. And we're going to see it through a perfect mind and a perfect heart and a perfect set of eyeballs and a perfect understanding and the mind of Christ. All of this is going to come together. Wow. Wow. No wonder the Lord says we can't take it. We can't take it. And we wonder how come the Lord, you know, we argue with the Lord about, well, how come you won't just do this for me? And the Lord's saying, you can't handle it. You got to let me do this thing progressively. And a lot of the things that we learn in our Christian walk are progressive things, like the book of Acts is. Having to do with salvation, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Jews to the Gentiles, and all the progression that went along through that book, and getting to the salvation of the gospel of the grace of God instead of the law. Okay, that's kind of like, I think, I know the Lord's been very progressive with some things that he's taught, that he's teaching me, and you could probably testify to the same thing. I believe that there's just some things about heaven that we cannot understand. Paul said it, and he was one of the most intelligent men there are. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, let's read some of what the Bible says about heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written," this is Paul talking about a verse in the Old Testament that we'll read in just a minute, but he says, "But as it is written," you see, he's referring to the Bible, the Old Testament. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, you say, well, how does this man know that? Because he's been there. Paul went to heaven, remember? He was caught up to the third heaven. And in another place in the scriptures, he said he's seen unspeakable things, unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. And he wasn't saying that the law said that he couldn't say anything about it. It was just, there was no lawful way to give you understanding about any way of putting it. You ever wanted to say something to somebody and there was just no words to say anything? You wanted to get it out, but you just couldn't, your tongue couldn't form it? That's what he's talking about. Probably 100-fold. But he said, "I hath not seen." Now that's testifying by what his eyes seen. "Ear hath not heard," that's testifying about things that he heard. "Neither hath entered into the heart of man." Now he is a man, and he's been on earth, and he knows what a man's life what goes through a man's heart when he's been on the earth, both good and bad. And he says, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They're up there. Paul said, they're up there. And he said, and it's probably a pity that he couldn't come back down here and tell everybody, because he would have been killed a lot faster than what he was just telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation and his own testimony. That's all Paul ever witnessed, was what happened to him on the road to Damascus, and everybody hated his guts. The Jews especially. When he mentioned Gentiles, man, kill that sucker. But it was people that hated God, and people didn't want nothing to do with the Lord. They wanted their law, and they wanted their authority, and they wanted this, and they wanted that, like a lot of the people that say they worship God today in truth and sincerity, but they don't. Okay, but anyway, talking about what is heaven like, well, the Bible says that it's so wonderful that it can't be put into the heart of man to understand it. But there is some things up there that can be seen and be heard, and that your heart is going to rejoice about, because God's prepared it for them that love him. Do you love God? I do. I can only speak for myself and speak for the people that have a testimony that they love God. Our spirits bear witness that we are the sons of God, and with each other. And we can tell whether we love God or not genuinely, and whether God the Holy Ghost dwells in a person. You can tell. You can tell by just by talking with them, because there's only one language God the Holy Ghost speaks. He doesn't speak the world's language. Jesus said, you don't hear me because you don't speak God's language. Now, he didn't say that, but that's roundabout what he was saying. He said, you don't understand me because you're not of God. We are. We understand spiritual things because God the Holy Ghost dwells in us. And he helps us to understand that thing. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, which is what verse Paul was talking about when he said, but as it is written, listen to this. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Isn't that tremendous? I get chill bumps reading that. That's tremendous. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What are we doing right this very minute? You waiting on God? I am. I'm waiting for him right this second. Right this second, I'm waiting on him. And I'm waiting on him in my heart, my mind, my walk, my everyday dealings with this world and this flesh and the devil. And I know you are too. And what an honor it is to come together around God's word, and a refreshing, isn't it? But listen to these promises. What is heaven like? Even in the Old Testament, they wasn't able to describe it. They couldn't describe it. They just said, from the beginning of the world, no man can figure this thing out, but it's worth waiting on. It's worth waiting on. Isn't that what he said? For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. That's some good news. I love it that the Lord said that, and that we get it, and it's our promise, it's in writing, and it's from our God. And he can back it up, and already has. Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place for us. And he said if it wasn't so, he'd have told us. He said, but because it is so, If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we got the promise in writing. We got it documented. We got it. The Lord says for us to trust it, to believe in it, and to wait on it, and to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and it's going to come to pass, and it's going to be something that your eyes have never seen, something that your ears have never heard. That's interesting, that your ears have never heard. And neither have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. We have hope, brothers and sisters, about this heaven matter. We got a place waiting on us, a place, our place. I go to prepare a place for you. Everybody's looking for their place here, trying to get in their place. A lot of people are getting out of their place because they know they don't like the place that they're supposed to be. The Bible tells everybody where your place is down here if you honor the Lord and get in it. And it tells us what measure we're supposed to be in. Men, women, children, pastors. It tells everybody where your place is and where your measure is. Where you're not to go beyond your measure. Paul wouldn't go beyond his. He didn't get in other men's matters. He didn't act like a woman. He didn't say he was a woman. Paul behaved within his measure. And he stayed within his measure of what God showed him. And the Lord tells us in the scripture, every one of us have a measure and we have a place. As far as our service to him down here in the body, waiting for our real home, our place in heaven. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, is it possible to adequately describe what heaven will be like? No, it's not. It's not possible to write it down. But, you know, that's exciting. Because now, I mean, you say, well, that's kind of disappointing. No, it ain't. When you was a kid and you found out you was going to Disneyland, and you didn't know nothing about it, but you're reading it on the paper that it had this and it had this, and we can't tell you about all this. You just have to come and see it. And you knew you was going. You was all excited. Wasn't disappointed about that, was you? Well, they're talking about heaven. And something that God has built. And something that God knows us specifically and knows our hearts and our minds and knows us through and through as a person. And he's going to look out for us when we get to heaven. And Jesus said, individually, I go to prepare a place for you, singular. I don't believe nobody's going to turn up an eyebrow. I mean, this is going to be so good, brothers and sisters. No, what is heaven like? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Worth waiting on, worth waiting on, worth waiting on. Worth loving the Lord and falling in love with him more and more and more and more. More loving him more than you love him now. Believe in him more than you believe him now. Trust in him more than you trust him now. You don't have to see him to know he's there. We already see him through the eyes of faith in our heart and our mind through the Word of God. That's why we're sitting here doing this. If you didn't believe God was, those that come unto him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Bible says how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Why do you talk to God if you don't believe he is? That's ridiculous. Of course you believe he is. So stop listening to the devil. He's a liar. There's no truth in him. You believe God is because you call on him. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, we've read this before, but this is interesting according to what, as far as what is heaven like, because we just got through talking about that. This is the person that wrote that about I have not seen and quoted the Old Testament. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, and whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. That's going to be interesting enough, isn't it? Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, I believe it was Paul, and I believe it's I believe it was Paul, and that the scriptures show us that it sounds like him. It sounds like his writing. It sounds like his words. It's just, and it lines up with what was going on with him around that time. And if it wasn't, there's still a man that went to the third heaven in paradise there. And Paul says, he's testifying that it's so. And then he said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Now, the Muslims believe they're going to paradise with the 70 virgins and all this, that, and the other, into paradise. Okay, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's that tell you? Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. It's not like unspeakable words down here, like cuss words and everybody. I can't say it because it's just too, you know, it ain't like that. I heard unspeakable words. I heard words that I can't say. I can't form. My tongue won't get around it. Unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Not that the law says he can't utter them. It's that if he wants to, he can't get it done. But he said he knew a man that went to paradise, and these things were so. And they were wonderful. He didn't say one thing negative about any of it. Matter of fact, he said it's worth waiting on God for, and that God is preparing it for the people that love him. Yay! Glory to God. I'm glad we got something to look forward to, aren't you? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, the Apostle Paul was given a sneak preview of heaven. Why didn't Paul give us a detailed description of what he saw and heard? Because he couldn't. He just couldn't. I don't know why. I don't know why the Lord didn't give him the ability to do it. Maybe God doesn't want us to know that. Because then, as far as man's nature, you'd probably bottle it and sell it. For a profit. That's the way man's nature is. Yes, Christians too. That flesh will do anything. But the Lord said that if you want to know about heaven, believe on my son, get in the family, get born again, and learn how to love me, learn who I am and what I'm about and my ways, and obey me. And glorify my son and read my book, and I'm coming to get you. In Hebrews 9:24, the very presence of God is in heaven. Hebrews 9:24, the Bible says, for Christ hath not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Well, one thing we know about heaven is that the very presence of God is in heaven. The very presence of God. You know, every time anybody in the scriptures or the we see the thing in the scriptures where, like for instance, Moses, when he got into the presence of God, the Lord told him, take your shoes off because the ground you're standing on is holy. And Joshua, when he got in the presence of the Lord, Jacob, when he got in the presence of the Lord, all of the ones in the scriptures that got into the presence of the Lord, the first thing they done was got on their face, the Bible says. They fell on their faces. The very presence of God. It scared the whole nation of Israel around that mountain when the Lord descended on that mountain and started burning, melting that mountain. The whole nation said, we don't want to talk to God. You talk to him for us. Moses said, I quake and fear. He said when he got in the presence of God, his bones shook uncontrollably. He quaked. The presence of God is in heaven. Now, we already fear the Lord. We know what the Lord can do. And we should fear him even more and more. And I ain't talking about reverential fear, even though we do reverent him, however you say that. But respect him and adore him. But I'm talking about terrified of him. You're scared of him. David was scared of him. Yeah. If you ain't scared of God, you're a fool. You can't just talk to the Lord any old way you want to. I heard a guy say one time when I was at that ministry, he said, I remember one time, and he was right with the Lord. He had gotten right with the Lord. But we was talking about some things that we did in the past and stupid things that we'd done in the past. And he said, one time, he said, I looked up to heaven and I meant it with everything in me. I said, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. I trembled when he said that. Good thing God didn't take him up on it, huh? Revelation chapter 4. Listen to this. We're talking about what is heaven like. Well, so far we've got some evidence of it, but we haven't got a description of it. The only thing we've got is that there's evidence that we have not seen what is in heaven with our eyes, and that we've not heard the things that are in heaven, and it's not entered into our heart. We can't sit and imagine heaven and put it together in our imagination. We can't do it. But it says that these things are so wonderful that God hath prepared for the people that love him and also the people that are waiting on him. That is something to look forward to. I mean, what better way to put it if it wasn't, I mean, I can understand how come it can't be told, how come it can't be seen, how come it can't be heard, because it's from God. God can make anything he wants to make. Has God ever given you something personally that was so personal and so from him, from his hand to your hand, that there was no words that you knew that it was a personal gift from the Lord to you, even though, I mean, and that was an earthly gift or something that was just so precious because it was part of your heart, part of your mind, part of your conversation with the Lord, part of your yearning, part of your want, just everything come together perfectly because it was personally from him to you without any doubt at all. There was God's person was in it. Same way with this stuff in heaven. You don't think the Lord's going to be personal about this? He said he was. I go to prepare a place for you. This stuff is going to be personal. Personal from the Lord to you in heaven. But it can't be described. I mean, it can't be put in words. It can be, but the wonderful thing about it is that God said it's wonderful. He said it's for the people that love him and the people that are waiting on him, and that's us. Heaven, what's heaven like? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul had a sneak preview about it. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. He said, but he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. And when he got back, it affected him the rest of his life. And he talked about it. He said, I don't want to be here. I want to leave. I want to go home. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, we talked about the very presence of God being there where the Lord entered. He didn't enter into holy places made with hands. He entered into the that were figures of the true heaven, but he entered into heaven itself where the very presence of God is. One thing about heaven is the very presence of God is there. We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, but we have flesh that we're wrapped in. We have the world surrounding us that's wicked and the devil's domain. And we have the devil himself and all the devil, all his followers, unclean spirits that are affecting us down here. That's not going to be there. That's going to be the presence of the Lord there, of God himself, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being with him and being able to see him, to look at him. Revelation chapter 4, listen to this. What's heaven like? It says in verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. This is John. He said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. Now, a lot of people think a rainbow is a half a bow. That's called a bow. A rainbow is a complete circle. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes, behind and before. Now, it's going to take you probably a quarter of eternity just to get by the awe of what he just described, looking at God, looking at the Lord's throne and him sitting on the throne and the beauty of it. And the elders sitting around it, and the lightnings and the thunders coming out of it, and the beasts that are around it. That's there. He's there. His throne is there. It describes God Almighty's throne, which is located in heaven. And what are some other things that we read that are there? We read that there's the Lord, when he sits on his throne, is like a jasper and a sardine stone to look upon, and that there's a rainbow going around God's throne. Now, you're talking about all the kings of the earth and their glory and all the what their throne looks like and what all just what a king would look like on his glory. Everybody tries to make it something, okay? But we're talking about God and God's throne. There's a rainbow going around God's throne. And it says, in sight like unto an emerald. You know how pretty an emerald is? And round about the throne were 24 seats going around God's throne, 24 seats. And upon the seats he saw 24 elders, which probably are 12 of the Old Testament and the 12 of the New Testament, clothed in white raiment, and they had crowns of gold on their head. Imagine how beautiful that is. And out of the throne proceeded that God would allow men to sit round about his throne and have crowns on their heads. That's beautiful. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices out of God's throne. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass. A sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I don't know about you, but that's going to be something to look at. What is heaven like? You're talking about what is heaven like. We're reading this and describing it to ourselves from God's very word about what it is and the way that he wanted us to read it and to have it. And I still can't put it together. Can you? I mean, it's given me some pieces of things, but I still can't put it together. Can we describe heaven? What is heaven like? Not completely, not to where we can draw it out. All right, well, let's look at something else here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." So we see that the heavenly Jerusalem is a city that belongs to God. It's called Zion, Mount Zion. Okay, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the literal Jerusalem down here on earth. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, and to an innumerable company of angels. You can't count them, there's so many. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You know who that is? That's us. Which are written in heaven, the book of life, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So, there's seven things there that we just that are going to be found in heaven that the Bible declares that are in heaven. Did you tell what they were? But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. There's a city, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And God himself, the judge of all, spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. I don't know exactly what that is. I think it's the Lord's blood. I'm not sure. There's a lot of people that say something different. Blood of sprinkling. Just using the words. Personally, I think it's the Lord's blood, but I could be wrong, but there's other people that think something different, this and that and the other, but it says blood of sprinkling. What other blood could it be? Jesus' blood finished everything. Blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen. So we see, the Lord tells us a lot of things that are in heaven, but it's kind of like the things that we're going to just have to wait on. The things that we got every reason to look forward to, but they're too tremendous to put in worldly language or in humanistic form. They're just the Lord probably, the Lord chose not to do it, but even if any of the men, John or Paul, could describe it, they probably wouldn't, just so that when you get there, you didn't have any misconception about it, that it would be a complete, marvelous, wonderful thing like it's going to be. I think the Lord give us just enough information to say, look, your labor is not in vain. You're not wasting your time with me, and you're not. Just to know him and to be saved for eternity and to be with the Lord is going to be enough in itself. But that the Lord would make us a place and honor us at all and crowns, and that we get to see him on his throne as he is, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21. What's the centerpiece of heaven? Well, we know that, don't we? It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." Now see, he put some description in that about the city. And John describes the city and measurements and what it's made of and the foundations, what they're made of. And we'll get into some of that. But I think it's even the next part of the study that we're going to do is what the heavenly Jerusalem is going to be like. But he describes some of that. But one beautiful way that he put it was that he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And how do you describe it? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In all of its purity, as pure can be, without any of this humanism and wickedness down here on this earth about brides and husbands and things like that. Heavenly, as a bride adorned for her husband and the way it should be. That's what this New Jerusalem looks like. A bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So the centerpiece of heaven is going to be, I mean, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the center of everything, of course. The centerpiece of heaven is going to be the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, Sion. And that's what we're talking about, Sion, your heavenly home. You see how it's coming together, how God's Word just when you believe it and you don't go off trying to corrupt and change things and just let God say what he says and compare Scripture with Scripture and rightly divide, rightly, not wrongly, rightly divide God's Word. It all comes together and just blends and meshes together so beautiful. And it's only confusion to those that are looking for confusion, because God's Word is not confusion. But if you get in there trying to confuse it and trying to make a fool out of God, God's Word will turn you inside out and upside down and mess you up, mess your mind right up. But that's not what I want. That's not what you want. That's why we're here, is we want to know what God says about things. And today, we're going to go ahead and stop right there. But what is heaven like? Well, what did we come up with? I don't mean it like it sounds, but not really anything, did we? As far as writing it down and putting it under the heading of things that heaven's like, but the things that were described to us, we believe are truth, and we believe that they were witnessed by very men that we respect, that said for us to follow them, Paul and John, and they're written in the eternal Word of God. So everything that we see there, the description of the throne, Paul's trip to paradise, and John seeing in the Spirit the throne of God, and also seeing the heavenly Jerusalem. All these things are going to be beautiful. A sea of glass? A sea of glass like unto crystal coming out from God's throne. And I think we read in another place that there's a river coming out from God's throne that flows through there. We'll get into some of that too. But that's neat. But everything we read about it's wonderful and beautiful. And there's nothing on earth compared to anything we've read tonight, has there? Or this evening, or whatever it is to you, morning, evening, whatever it is. But in this lesson, there's nothing that can compare to it. I wouldn't trade any of it out, even having not seen of it by faith. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? So what is heaven like? It's going to be wonderful. I'll tell you what it's like. It's unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. But what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him, and the things God hath prepared for them that love him. That's what heaven's like. Things that God has prepared for them that love him, and what he hath prepared for them that wait for him. That's what heaven's like. Aren't you glad we got the God that we have? Amen. All right, well, listen, I'll give you these scriptures at the beginning of the next one, okay? Sorry about that. Been a good study. Next, we're going to talk about, when we get into this next study, after I give you the scriptures, what is the heavenly Jerusalem going to be like? It does give description about what the heavenly Jerusalem is like, and we're going to go over it. So be sure to be here. I appreciate you, and I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.